I don't know of any preacher would want to get in this pulpit after Sunday's message. Try to follow that. What a great message that was. I looked up there and seen my baby girl on the auction block, ragged, dirty, messed up looking, and I bawled like a baby. But the visual was so great. Tonight I want to give my testimony. I've never gave this before, so y'all be the first to hear it. But in John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I am so glad that I attend a church that I'm afraid to miss because something might happen. A lot of love in this church and great expectations for this church. Back in 1944, April the 10th, in a little small town called Killarney, between Coal City and Rodale, I was born to Roy and Eva Tucker. It was a poor family, 15 of us, 9 of us still living. But when I was born, with a bad heart. Back then, medical technology was not real great. They didn't know a whole lot about it. But I had inherited a bad heart from my mom's side of the family and also from my father's side of the family. And there was nothing they could do about it because the older I got, the worse my heart got. And I become a teenager, rowdy, rough, dropped out of school when I was 16, went to Chicago, started working in a horse ready factory for $1.10 an hour, and was glad to have the job because the mining industry was at the bottom at that time. And men had to register with the government when they turned 18. So I was in Chicago and I registered when I turned 18. And less than 2 years later, I got drafted. And all this time, my heart was getting worse and worse. And I knew eventually that it was going to take me out of this world. I knew that. And so there was nothing they could do about it. No stents could help it. The only thing that could be done was a heart transplant. There's 103,223 number of people waiting for a heart transplant today. The number one killer is heart disease. 13 people die each day waiting for a transplant. And Jesus had told his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." They was the reason why he told that disciples were troubled. Judah had just left and died, and Jesus spoke of going away, and he told Peter, "You're going to deny me." And they was looking at all this. They didn't sign up for that. And so he was getting ready to break a truth on them that they didn't understand. When I got out of service in 1967, we had our first child, a boy. And I thought that would help me. It didn't help me. My heart kept getting worse and worse. I thought drinking would help me. It didn't help. It made it worse. I thought everything I would try. I smoked pot. I'm not proud of it, but I heard pot would help your heart. It don't. It made it worse. I was dying. I was on the brink of death. I couldn't live. 1969, I found a donor. Now, you can give your kidney and live a normal life. And you can give part of your liver and still live a normal life. But if you give somebody your heart, you got to die. Who would want to give me their heart? It's a 33-year-old man that volunteered to give me his heart. He knew what would have to happen. But for me to live, I had to have a transplant. You cannot go to heaven with a bad heart. The Bible says that my heart was desperately wicked. I was born in sin and I was shaping in iniquity. And there was no hope of me ever living forever. This guy that donated his heart was a good man. He knew in order for me to live forever, he had to die so I could have his heart. Shane, put up Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 16 for me. This is God talking to Ezekiel, and he's talking about Israel, what he's doing for his people. He got fed up with his people trying to obey laws and trying to keep statutes and try to do this and try to do that. And so he said, there's only one thing, he said, that I can do for my people. And he done it for us. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off from the heathen, among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I will be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Verse 17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. That's already happened. 18. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. Verse 20. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Give me Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What God did for Israel, he's done for us through salvation. Our heart was bad, really bad, and we could never live with that heart. And he said, and I'll give you a new spirit. My brother had a granddaughter, 7 years old, and she had to have a heart transplant. The first heart transplant from human to human was done in 1967, December the 3rd. And it was successful, but they have to give the person that got the transplant a medication, because when something foreign comes into your body tries to reject it. And so they give it a rejection medicine to keep your body from rejecting it. And it destroyed his immune system, and he died of pneumonia. My brother's granddaughter, she has to take medication to reject it. When God put that new heart in me, he said, and a new spirit will I put within you. That new spirit lets me know what to reject for my new heart. I got this new heart from a guy that died, And he resurrected to make sure that I was going to enjoy my new life. He's watching me. He's knowing that every day I'm so thankful to my donor. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise him. I give him glory. I let him know. He said, because I live, you shall live also. You're looking at a guy that's never going to die. I'm going to live forever. Now let me explain that. You got this natural heart, and then you got the heart that God gave us. And that heart is going to live on forever. And so sometimes the flesh wants to reject that new heart. And I think, you know, God's love. I can do this. But his spirit says, that's not good for your new heart. And I said, oh, yes, God, you're right. I want what's good for my new heart. And his spirit begins to move into us and let us know what's right. You don't have to be a Einstein to know when something's wrong. Your heart will condemn you. Your heart will let you know this is not of God. He wants you to put his word. He said, I'll take that stony heart out of you. I had a hard heart. I mean to tell you, if somebody done me something wrong, I never forgot about it, never forgive them. And if they didn't know it, I'd still show them a hard spirit. I don't like you, you scumbucket. That's the kind of heart I used to have. But now, I've got a heart of love. And I just want to love and love and love. And sometimes when things is not good for my heart, you know what I say? Do it for your donor. Live for your donor, because he died to give you that. Your donor deserves more than what you're giving him. Your donor needs to know that he is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. I want the world to know that I got a donor and I'm alive today because his name is Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.